Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. I have with me Dr. Clarice Fluitt, a prophetess in the body of Christ, and you are going to have a prophetic encounter today. I really believe for that. And Clarice, it's wonderful to have you.
Thank you, my dear. It's a joy to be here.
We are going to have so much fun.
Absolutely.
On today's program. We were spending some time earlier today, and you were sharing a testimony about how you and your husband got connected by the Lord, and oh my gosh, I said, you've got to share it with our audience because they're going to love it.
Well, you know, we've been talking about there are people that are more interested in the things of God than the God of things, and we are really hearing the Lord invite us to intimacy, to union and communion.
Union and communion.
And that's what we want to be able to
Amen.
Just encourage people about. And one of the amazing things, it was my 13th birthday. And I'm an only child, and my father was very protective. And he would say, precious things are protected. So I knew that there was not a way in the world that ever young men were going to come see me. Dad wasn't going to let them in. And he was known as the Bear. He was a big, hairy man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was a very tremendous protector. And in this new neighborhood we moved in, there was a young girl next door. Her name is Carolyn. Oh, my goodness, she was so beautiful. She had long hair. She drove a car. She was a cheerleader. She had a life. You know, and they say proximity is power. So I became her little slave. I would clean her room and hang her clothes just to be in her
yeah.
presence and to hear about, you know, we meet people in the body of Christ just to be in their presence, their great mm-hmm. stories and their great lives that build such
right.
faith. And I would go over there. And in her room, she had this big bulletin board. And on the bulletin board, oh, Patricia, she had about 50 guys. And I thought, how in the world... So one day in my immaturity, I was in the seventh grade going in, and that was at the time the 7th through the 12th were in one area. There was not a middle school. So all the girls that were grown and had a life, they all were wearing some football player's jacket or they had a ring around their neck. That sense of belonging and someday my prince will come and
right.
all of those areas that we're thinking about. So I asked Carolyn one day, I said, Carolyn, can I have one of your boys?
Because she had so many.
She had 50
she
of them.
She didn't need them all.
I know, she didn't need them all. I mean, my goodness. And so she said...
So you were bold even back then, Clarice? You were just bold.
Well, I think it started out brassy bold and became gold bold.
Okay, there we go.
Little transition here. So I asked her, I said, can I have one of your guys? And she said, well, pick one out. And there was this young man. He was in a bathing suit. And he was standing in a tree, like getting ready to dive in the water, kind of like Tarzan. And I said, and what's his name? And she said, oh, his name is Marbury, and he lives in Denver, Colorado, and he's a great athlete. And she says, I knew him in the 9th grade, have not heard from him in years. So I took Marbury home, and I knew my dad would not let me have pictures.
So you took the picture of Marbury
I took a
off
picture,
the wall?
Took a picture of him off the wall, and she had a big bulletin board, and I got a little piece of cork.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're talking about faith.
Right.
I'm telling people all the time, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of words. And that you have to set your faith out and believe in that there are words that activate the promises of God.
I know today over breakfast you said to me, you said, the kingdom of God is voice activated.
That's right.
And that will never leave me now. I just love it because I've always believed in that principle. But when you said it, it just went off on the inside. So I actually wrote it into my Facebook and let all my Facebook friends see it. And let's go for it.
It teaches us to say what God said. Who will agree with God?
Yep,
who will agree with God? And that God's out looking for God. So the thing that moves God is God. For God's pleasure, we are created. So we're being conformed into the image of the dear Son of God. And latent within my heart, even as a child, I knew that there had to be more to life than what I was experiencing mm-hmm. at 13. And I began to watch somebody that was mature and they could drive a car and do all of this stuff that, you know, someday mm-hmm. I'm going to move into that realm. So by faith or presumption, I don't know which way that you're going to call it.
It was at least by desire.
It definitely was by desire. And I went to the dime store. They used to really have five and dime. And for about 50 cents, I bought a ring that was big enough to fit King Kong. I mean, it was because all the big girls would wear a ring around that. They had
right.
a chain and had a ring, and they would go in with Tom, Dick, or Harry. And so I'm in the 7th grade, and I have no idea where to get a chain. There was no way. But my mother had a chain on her bathtub stopper, and I took it off. I disconnected the stopper and put that ring around my neck. And I'm telling you, my neck was as green as a gourd, mm-hmm. but I was a happy little camper.
Because and you felt a sense of belonging.
I belonged to somebody. And so the bigger girls would say, whose ring is that? And I said, oh, there's this man in Colorado that I'm going with. And you think, you are lying through your teeth. But it was just so real to me. I just really believed it. And for about 2 years, I wore that poor, pitiful chain around my neck. And in the fullness of time, of course, I meet this wonderful man named George, and we're engaged, and we're going to college, and he's a musician, and I'm kind of a joiner by instinct. And we were at this Christmas party, and my fiance, we were getting married in April, and we're getting married in June, and this was in December, and he couldn't attend the party. And so while I was at the party, this man comes in, and they said, this is the new student. And I said, who is he? And they said, this is George Fluitt. That's coming in
another George. You had George number one, and now
every
Tom,
Dick, and Harry was named George. I mean, so he comes in, and this girl goes over, and she's asked him to dance. And they, of course, I didn't know he was a professional dance teacher, and he was he trained the Olympic ski teams. He was just a real dynamic young man, and he got in the middle of the dance floor, and she couldn't follow him, and he decides to give her a dance lesson. You know, they got that nice cleric.
Right.
Personalities, you know, he's going to let me show you how to do it. So I am really ragging him out. I'm telling everybody, that's the most egotistical man I've ever seen in my life. I wouldn't have anything to do with him. And immediately he comes over and he says, would you like to dance? And I said, I would love to. And so we dance, and at the end of the dance, he takes this dramatic dip and he says, what is your name? And I said, Clarice Brown. And he says, Clarice Brown, I'm going to marry you. And I said, you're crazy. I'm engaged. I said, you're a stalker. And anyway, every night at 7 o'clock from December to April, he called. And he said, this is George Fluitt. I just called to tell you I love you, and someday I'll marry you.
Wow.
They talk about voice activated.
Voice activation.
Voice activated. And I protested, but I do know this, that about wherever I was at 10 minutes to 7, I was looking for that phone call. And so my fiancé and I had a little altercation. I'd gotten upset with him, and I was walking by, and George Fluitt was in front of the Fine Arts Building, and I just walked up to him, and I said, what are your plans for the evening? And he says, what would you like to do? Because we'd been cast in a play called The Finger of God. Mm-hmm. He was majoring in speech and drama. He was a transfer from Denver University. And so we went to the movie, and he was so polite. He was so kind. He was in the course of conversation, I said, now, tell me about yourself. Who are you and what do you do? He said, my father's a payroll accountant. And he said, we've traveled all over the country. And he said, I've been to 27 schools. And I said, and what is your name? And he said, well, my name is George Marbury Fluitt. And I thought, I'd never heard that name before.
No,
could
I've never
it be?
Heard. I've never heard
and
the
I,
name
I said,
Marbury.
Did you ever know a girl named Carolyn Stewart? He said, she was my first girlfriend. And he said, we moved to Colorado after the 9th grade. And I said, well, when I was 13, I got your
Amazing.
Picture, put it in there, and every day said, someday I'm going to marry Marbury. And so 3 months later, we were married and have been married 52 years since then.
So I just think that's so amazing.
The steps of the righteous are honored by God. Mm-hmm. So many people are looking for a companion of like nature
right.
and ability.
Mm-hmm.
And they're need-oriented and man-centered and entertainment-based. And you know, I've found out that you don't fall in love, you fall in lust, but you learn to love.
Mm-hmm.
You learn to love. And that I tell people, we do a lot of marriage conferences, and I'll tell them, I said, you know, love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. And that God, by His Spirit, is looking and selecting a companion of like nature and ability to rule and reign now and throughout eternity with Christ.
You know what I love about your story, Clarice, is that, first of all, you had desire.
Yes.
You were able to identify your desire. So when you saw all the options that were on the wall, you were bold with your desire.
Yes.
You know, you thought, I'm going to take a risk here because I have a desire for a meaningful relationship. And obviously, I can't have one yet
right.
because my father is...
The law
is.
Told me I couldn't.
The law said
but
you could.
Grace said
but,
I could.
But your desire was alive.
It was.
And so you followed through on your desire, and the answer was yes. And so you took that picture, which is the visual, and in the Bible, we're taught, if you see it, you can have it.
Right.
You know, that's what God said to Abraham. Look as far as you can, to the north, the south, the east, and the west, because whatever you see, I'm going to give it to you. So you saw it.
I saw it, and I desired it, and I believed for it, and it was real to me. And I know there are individuals that say, well, all you were doing is lying. What I was doing was calling the things that are not as though they were.
Right, you were living inside of your desire.
I was living, and I was, you know, you can hear the voice of God say, come up here and see what I see and be what I be and create with me. The creative aspect of being able to say with your mouth, I believe that this is the man I'm supposed to marry. I'm going to find him or he's going to find me.
Right.
And it became a reality. And now there's always the Ishmael before the Isaac.
Right.
You know, and there was this other George
right.
that came along, wonderful person
right.
that I loved but was not in love.
Right.
And so that there is such an understanding that when we begin to believe for a companion,
right.
you know, and that's the thing I want to encourage people, men and women, there are so many lonely people and there are so many people that need people, but we're not being realistic about what we're wanting.
Right.
You know, if you just make a list of
right.
this is who I'm looking for, so God equip me to be the companion that this person needs,
right.
rather than wanting that person to meet my needs.
I know, and so often I hear that as saying, well, what I need is this and what I need is that. But in the kingdom, it's about giving. It's about what you can do for another. It's about how you can serve and how you can be a blessing. And so when you have that mentality, that really helps build a realm in the spirit that attracts people to you or attracts what you're believing for. One of the things I wanted to highlight is that you operated in grace, because I didn't hear in your story when you told it to me this morning at breakfast or mm-hmm. even now, I did not hear any kind of striving or struggling or anxiety. It was like, oh, I got to have this.
No.
It's just like you just entered into the fun of what you were believing for. You entered into the reality of it and lived inside the fun of it. And then God made a way, even when you were on a different track. That's what I love
Absolutely.
About the grace of God.
Yes.
Is that if we trust His grace, that even if we're on a different track,
mm-hmm.
He will just move mountains. He'll move nations around, position everything in order to give us the exact placement that He has for us.
You know, in this day and time, I tell people, I said, you can have more degrees than a thermometer. But what equips us, ministry, life-giving experiences.
Yeah.
And when I can tell you, I've been married 52 years, that we have 5 children, 11 grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and we have been pastors for the past 30 years and 40 years of ministry. Now, that equips you to minister to anybody, particularly the insane.
Right.
You know, because it rolls off the end of your tongue. But those things do not just happen without opportunities to overcome.
Come on.
And so we're learning that when people say, well, I'm just not in love with my husband or I'm not in love with my wife, you know, I'm kind of like Tina Turner. What's love got to do with it?
Yeah.
You're going to have to choose
right.
to have covenant on God's term, not yours.
And then it comes around, you know. If you
it
just,
will. The grass you know, will get green again.
Yeah, honestly, it's just a matter of what you're believing for. It can actually, any miracle can happen.
Amen.
And we're going to be back in a few moments because we want to talk about union and communion with our beloved bridegroom King. And you know, all life and goodness flows out of that union and communion. And Dr. Clarice Fluitt has so much wisdom on this subject, and she has spent years meditating on Song of Solomon and meditating on that aspect of union with the Lord. So we're going to take you to a little featured advertisement of her product right now, and then we'll be right back for more. And you'll want to for sure come back, because we're going to pray and decree over those of you that want stronger marriages and union in your natural marriages, but also for those of you that are believing for a spouse.
Yes.
We have faith for that. So we'll be right back.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpministries.com. Order Patricia King's new Sacred Time, Sacred Place journal. Develop a rich devotional life with practical guidelines, scripture, and journal space for a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Order the Sacred Time, Sacred Place journal online now at xqministries.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.
Well, hello and welcome back. We have with us today Dr. Clarice Fluitt. And in this segment, Dr. Clarice, we want to talk about the Song of Solomon and this beautiful picture of a love story of union and communion. Absolutely. So do you want to share your insights on
that?
Well,
you know, it's a very interesting thing. We had gone through some real challenging times where the Lord was saying, I'm going to lead you into the valley of the shadow of death. And we were living in a 16-room house with nothing but cars and planes and boats and everything that says success. The Lord said, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And we ended up in a 3-room sharecropper's cabin and with 5 kids that didn't know anything. It was a real challenge.
Wow.
It's a 5-year detour. And while I was in that place, the Lord began to talk to me about union and communion that I knew about. But I said, Lord, if you treat your friends like this, you may not have many. You know, I'm trying. All I want to do is know you. He says, well, if you want to know me, he says, you know about me. You can stand on the mountain and beat your tambourine and heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils and sing Let a Rip Fellowship. But if you want to know me, I've got to send you some suffering and some misunderstanding and to build a muscle that you can stand and not faint. And God is, he's just wonderful like that. But while I was in the midst of transition, I just thought, I am dying for sure. And I remember one day catching a glimpse of myself in a mirror, and I said, devil, you did this to me. Yeah, I mean, you have just absolutely stripped me of everything. And the audible voice of God spoke to me, and he says, the devil didn't have anything to do with it. I did this. And that was when I thought, you know, Lord, what? This is a part of you that didn't teach me in Sunday school.
He gave you an opportunity.
He
created an opportunity for you.
He did. He did indeed.
So he could bless.
And then he literally took me to heaven. And while I was in, and we won't go into that, but while I was there, he told me about union and communion, to be a companion of like nature and ability, created to rule and reign now and forever. And he said, I'm going to send you back to the earth as a bridal consultant to the body of Christ.
Wow.
And so that has been, and he says, understand that the Song of Solomon gives the wonderful instructions of spiritual growth, you know, that, mm-hmm. that is misunderstood by so many people because they read it and they don't understand it. So just breaking it down the way he broke it to me in a few minutes here, the Shulamite comes in. Solomon has come into his kingdom. Everything is gold. There's no silver around. We know that silver speaks of redemption. Gold speaks of deity. So we know in a third dimension church where we're talking about glory, that God's got glory on his mind. That is the manifestation of Jesus plainly seen in you and me. He's coming mm-hmm. in us before he comes for us. And the church must awaken to that reality mm-hmm. that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. So understanding that at that particular time, and when he opened the Song of Solomon, showed me that Solomon was surrounded by everyone that knew he was the king, and they knew how to behave themselves, and it's kind of like religion. You know, here comes the king, and they loved him for what he could do, the protection, the mm-hmm. gold, the food, the finery. And so as far as you could see, it was hail to Solomon, king of the universe. You know, it was wonderful. Well, Solomon is a type and a shadow of Jesus. And when we talk about types and shadows, we're never speaking of character, but we're speaking of office mm-hmm. and as the king of glory. And he begins to long for someone that might love him, not but for what he has, but for who he is.
Right.
And he goes out for a walk, if you'll just allow me just the poetic license to break it down, because mm-hmm. we don't have time to
right.
theologically do discourse.
We're going
to
do that in your series that
right.
we're
we
featuring
can do that.
On union and communion.
That we'll just do Song of Solomon and break it down line by line. But if you can just see a beautiful spring day and Solomon is just saying, is there anybody that just loves me for who I am? Mm-hmm. And he sees this little girl. She's down digging in her brother's garden. She doesn't even know. All she knows about is fulfilling somebody else's mm-hmm. vision. And she's working. She's never seen a mirror. She's never seen a comb. She doesn't know about a toothbrush. She doesn't know about anything. She's ugly as dirt. But she's so enthusiastic. And when she sees him, she cries out and says, oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his lips. So here we have this girl that as she sees him, she is brought to a place and that thought, oh, dear God, this is the most wonderful man in the world. She's never seen herself. God always reveals to you who he is before you can understand who you are.
Wow, that's good. That's very good.
He brings her and says, and the king had brought me into these chambers, and he reveals healing and deliverance and prosperity and joy. And she says, oh, the daughters of Jerusalem, do not despise me. I'm as black as the tents of Kedar. I'm as black as my environment. I've never known anything. But because of my love for him, mm-hmm. she says to him, when he says, what do you think about this? What do you think about? She says, healing is wonderful. Deliverance is wonderful. Prosperity is wonderful. But I will delight and be glad in you. You are the joy of my heart and my life. So we find that it's in the union and communion, they finally come through this incredible love affair, which is a story that remains to be told in fullness. But we get into the 8th chapter, and they are in a lover's embrace, and he speaks to her, and he says, your love and faith rise like towers before me. You're all together. He describes her from head to toe, and she uh-huh. describes him from head to
right.
toe, as only lovers could do that. And she says, I love you so much, anything you want, I'll give it to you. And she says, you and I have a little sister. And in the day of her espousal, her love and faith will not be mature enough to please you. And he says, because you have bridal affections, because you've been brought into union and communion, you have the right now. I have placed my desire in you. So tell me what you want.
It.
And she says, give me the nations.
I love it.
Give me the nations. And he says, I'll make her a wall. I'll make her a door. And those things are incredible when we break it down.
Yeah, it's all inside of the Song of Songs. It's
wonderful.
It is
incredible.
And your teaching is awesome. And we're going to break right now for just a moment so that you can get acquainted with this awesome teaching on union and communion. And I really want to encourage you to get it because it's an awesome study. And you'll see yourself in it and you'll be drawn to the Lord in it. And then, when we come back, get ready to be prophesied over, get ready to be decreed over, get ready for a miracle.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. Go online to xpministries.com.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience Him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
Well, we have some special words for you. And first of all, I want to minister to those of you who have been really hurt in relationship and in marriage. And, you know, I don't take that lightly. I know that some of these situations are so difficult for you. But the compassion, the love, and the healing of Jesus is coming into you now. And you're going to have a fresh beginning. And he says, arise and shine because your light has come. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim the blessing of God on every marriage that's represented here. I proclaim the healing of God for every hurt and wounded marriage that's represented amongst our viewers. And I call forth the most perfect spouses for you who are believing for a spouse from heaven. God has one tailor-made just for you, perfect for you. So in the name of Jesus, I call that one forth. Amen.
Well, we're here today to be able to set our faith in agreement with the Word of God. So right now, those of you, as Patricia was talking about, a companion of like nature and ability, as we speak about union and communion with God and with one another, I want to remind you, you'd be hard-pressed to find a place in the Scripture where it says, put your trust in a person. The Scripture says, trust in God with all your heart. We are commanded to love people and to forgive people and to understand the very best person on the face of the earth is made out of dirt, and dirt can grow anything. So we're not anticipating or expecting an individual to never give you any problems. That's why we have been given the ability to forgive and that ministry of mercy that goes through. So right now, in the name of Jesus, in regard to your marriage, you cannot have covenant on your terms. Begin to open your heart and say, in the authority of the name of Jesus, I choose to align myself with the Word of God. I'm going to activate the Word of God. I'm going to ratify the Word of God. I'm going to prophesy the Word of God. I'm going to declare a thing and see it come to pass. Rather than finding fault, you know what a fault line is. It's the thing that is seen right before an earthquake. So we're not finding fault. We're going to find Christ in one another. So in the name of Jesus, I prophesy to you and to your household, and as many as the Lord thy God will call, that all of your children are disciples taught of the Lord and graces their peace and undisturbed composure. And all these things you've been magnifying that's not God, that in the name of Jesus, that you'll begin to magnify the Word rather than magnify the problem, that you will put bullets in your gun and just say, in the name of Jesus, to me and to my household has the promise of God been made. Listen, it's wonderful when you find out that you do not have a need. You have some undiscovered resources. So you begin to agree and discover the goodness of God in one another. I love you with the love of the Lord. I really love you. Learned that from her.
That's awesome. You know, God has great things in store for you. He has a future and he has a hope that is heavenly and it is divine. And he wants you to take hold of it. And you know, all that goodness comes from being in him. If you don't know him yet as your personal Savior and Lord, just reach out to him now and say, Jesus, I want you to be my God. Forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life. And he will. And write us. Write us today at info@xpministries.com and let us know that you received Jesus. We have a gift for you. And remember this, he loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. Welcome to Everlasting Love. My name is Patricia King, and I'm glad that you've joined us for part two of Union and Communion with our special guest, Dr. Clarice Fluitt. And Dr. Clarice, it's awesome to have you with us again, and we're going into part two of this awesome message on union and communion.
What a joy to have the opportunity to be with you and to see this wonderful, wonderful ministry that God has blessed you with.
Oh,
and that we
you.
Can have an opportunity to be with you.
It's a pleasure. Our team loves you, and you bring so much encouragement and freshness.
It's easy to be around good people.
Well, we're on this amazing subject, and for those of our viewers that didn't see our last program, I just want to encourage you to go online at xpmedia.com, where we host a lot of our media, and watch it. Watch part one of Union and Communion, because your testimony about how you and your husband met is shocking. The goodness of God and the playfulness of God is so wonderful.
You know, the
wonderful.
Steps of the righteous have been preordained and ordered by God. So we have to believe as we walk through this life that it's not a matter of carelessness, that God has a plan.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
That plan absolutely is to conform us into the image of the dear Son of God. That we talk about, create, God is creating a companion of like nature and like ability to rule and reign now,
right,
as well as throughout eternity. So we've been created and have the impartation of righteousness. You know, when you tell people, I'm as righteous as Jesus is, that all religion wants to have a fit.
I know.
But the reality is that's what the Word talks about.
What I love is that everything in the kingdom is about what Jesus already accomplished. It's about what the King already set in place. And so it's by grace. This life that we live is by grace. We live it out by faith in what He finished for us. So our union begins with His life coming into us. So let's talk about that a little bit for our viewers on how we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because we have His life in us.
Well, the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
That's right.
As a heavenly species, old things have passed away.
And all
now,
things have become new.
I may new. But you know, if something's passed away, we need to give it a decent burial. You don't need to dig it up every week to see if it's dead. Because you
That's
house.
That's so disgusting, isn't it?
It is. It's just, in Deuteronomy 18, 10, 11, and 12, it says, when you come into the land that the Lord thy God has given unto you, you cannot behave like the previous inhabitants.
Right.
In the Old Testament, they were looking for a land. In the New Testament, we've become the land.
Yeah.
You are the land that flows, not dribbles, with milk, the sincere
come
word
on.
Of God, and honey, which is revelation. I am the land of God. I am the promised land, the covenant land of God. So when we begin to understand what our inheritance is in God, and that when Deuteronomy told him, when speaking in Deuteronomy, he says, you can't act like the ones that used to live here. Before we became born of God and that His life came to us, I like to refer to this as my evil twin. You know, that there was a person that I no longer identify mm-hmm. with. That was my Adamic nature. Now, the scripture says to esteem the old man smitten, dead,
right.
and not sick. You know, and I can't fix him. You cannot heal dirt.
Right.
And so all of the hurts and the wounds and nobody knows the troubles I see and all around me, death, doom, and misery, you're just ministering to the Adamic nature.
Right.
And what you feed is what's going to lead.
That's right. And whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to empower.
Yeah.
So when you focus on who you really are, because Jesus said to Nicodemus in John mm-hmm. 3, He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So our spirit man, which isn't just a blob on the inside
right.
of us, it's really who we are, this spirit man, the inner man on
right.
the inside, is just like Jesus. It's been born again. We're brand new. We're like, you know, we never were before in that sense. This new breed, this mm-hmm. new
heavenly species,
this new life mm-hmm. is brand new on the inside of us. And it's very tangible too.
It says, the life I live in this flesh, I live it through the faith of the Son of God mm-hmm. who loved me and made. See, Jesus didn't die for me. He died as me.
Right.
And that's a whole different
yeah.
way of understanding that. So He is now living His life through me.
Right.
And that when it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're talking about union and communion. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. My body is ruled by five professors, those things that have to do with my senses. It feeds into the natural. And until my mind, my emotions will, the soul realm, until it is converted. See, a decision is not a conversion. People think, well, I made a decision for Christ. Well, I made a decision to lose weight. I made a decision to clean my closet.
I made
a lot
of
decisions. But just because you make a decision does yeah. not mean a conversion took place.
Wow, that's
so
good.
When you understand that, back to Deuteronomy, it says you can't act like the previous inhabitants. It names nine particular things that basically are replacements or substitutes for the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And one of the things it says that brings a curse upon you, he says it's an abomination, is necromancy, talking to the dead. He says, you can't do it. That's forbidden. So we go in and says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. For me to continue to talk about, I've been hurt, I've been wounded, nobody knows the troubles I see, I've been divorced, mm-hmm. I had an abortion, I did this, I did that. You know, we're talking to God as though He has a severe case of Alzheimer's and doesn't know what's going on. And rather than giving Him something to work
Come
with,
on.
Which is His Word, and agreeing with God. Who will agree with God?
You know, just what you said earlier about the sin of necromancy mm-hmm. is communicating with the
dead. Right.
Oh my gosh, that is
that's
profound.
Powerful,
that's got to go on my Facebook too, I think. But you know, the Bible clearly says
it's forbidden.
That we have been crucified with Christ. That mm-hmm. is past tense. Also says in Colossians, for you are dead. And your life is
Not
hidden
sick.
with God in Christ. So it's like we can't talk to this dead man mm-hmm. or let the dead man live. That is necromancy.
Well, it's the thing that causes so much pain in the world is that we begin to get with people we want. Please don't take my words apart from my spirit, but so many people are trying to bypass the blood of the Lamb by inner healing and counseling. And I want to talk about nobody knows the troubles I see. There is a more excellent way to do things. Believe the word of God.
Yeah.
And everything you're going to get from God, you're going to get it with your mouth. Put me on. Put on the new man. Put off the old man.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I identify and say, well, you know, he hurt me. She talked about me. He did this. Listen, everybody's got a story.
Sure.
And that it's either going to make you bitter or better.
Uh-huh.
But you've got about 30 seconds, maybe, in the morning when you wake up. There are two men on the planet. One of them is Christ and the other one is Adam. Which one is going to lead?
Right.
You'd make a choice right now. Is Jesus going to be in charge today? Or are we going to talk about Adam? We're going to talk about, I'm so tired, or I feel so bad, or the doctor says I have the epizootics, and my kids have gone astray, and all we're doing is confessing what looks like facts.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm oppressed, suppressed, repressed, depressed, and possessed, but the reality is God's word says I'm healed, delivered, and rich.
You know, we so often do drag around that old nature, and
yes.
We look at it. I remember years ago when my husband and I were first married, and we've been married almost 40 years now, and we had these two dogs, Barney and George. And Barney, he was a naughty little dog. He was very, very hyper, and we had some chickens in the back barn where we lived, and he would... He ended up, you know, eating some chickens. He killed some chickens and ate them. So we had a problem because he said, once a dog gets a taste of that blood, they go after it again.
Mm-hmm.
So someone gave us this word of wisdom on how to get Barney to stop eating chickens. They said, what you do is you take one of the dead chickens that he killed and you wrap it around his neck and let him carry it around.
Until it
It'll get so disgusting to him that he'll stop doing it. Well, it didn't work. He would sleep on the thing and he would just drag it around. But just as you were sharing, I thought that's what we do so often, is we drag this dead man around with us, and then when we're talking to people about who we are, we say, this is who I am. Look at this dead thing hanging around my neck, you know?
Well, you know, part of the Roman torture, it's interesting that the prisoners, you know, they were just diabolical on how they did things, but they would take a dead man and tie him face to face over there over a live man, and the death would eat through.
Really?
That was part of the torture, Roman torture.
Really?
So when Paul's talking about the old man is dead,
come on,
you know, that's part of it. He says, you know, who will set me free from the bondage of this flesh?
Yeah, because you don't want to be having
that
thing hanging around.
So when people choose to activate the word of God, not look at the facts, but look at the truth. Now, when facts and truth come together, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times that we're looking at circumstances and situation, and we have erroneously thought that begging and pleading was interceding
mm-hmm.
instead of decreeing, declaring, and proclaiming. Because I'm telling you, when you begin to talk to God and pray and tell him about the problems, it is an unknown tongue in heavens, and there's no interpretation. Angels are running over saying, what'd he say? I don't know. You know, because we're saying, oh, God, it's so bad. There's abortion
right.
all over the place, and there's this going on and that's going on. God is aware,
mm-hmm.
and he has given you the antidote to the Antichrist.
Come on.
Which is the infallible, inerrant, and awesome
mm-hmm.
word of God. So we have to agree with God and launch that word out. I activate that word of God
right.
by speaking and calling. The scripture says both he that sanctifies and he that is sanctified is the same.
Right.
So when we begin to realize my spirit is in sinless perfection. I know that bothers some people.
Right.
But a third of me is doing good. My soul is like a wife to my spirit, or
right.
a queen. We could say the spirit's the king and the soul is the queen and the body's the baby.
Okay.
And you've got that immature thing that's screaming and yelling and my head hurts. I don't want to do this. I don't want to share. I don't want, you know, you've got all this rebellion that's coming in. And if mother is going to agree with body, if soul and body are going to come into an agreement, then they're voting against spirit.
Wow.
And then just incredible sickness comes on you, poverty comes on you, all of this because it's a shameful thing that a slave would rule in the house of a king.
Mm-hmm.
For my body to dictate to me, to my spirit, which lives in sinless perfection. But as soon as my soul, my intellect, reason, emotion is renewed,
mm-hmm.
you know, be metamorphosed and transformed
right.
from a worm to a butterfly, then my soul agrees with the spirit, and that what happens is immortality begins to just seep into my flesh.
Right.
He says, satisfy your mouth with the word of God, and I will renew your strength and your youth.
Come on. I just want to cover a little bit of clarification on sinless perfection.
Yes.
Because I know that for many people, they've stopped listening now because
right.
they're mad.
Yeah, they're mad about it, right.
But really, this is what the Bible says about our spirit man, mm-hmm. about our spiritual nature that's been born again in Christ. It says in 1 John 3, verse 9, it says, "No one who is born of God sins. No one. Because his seed abides in him." That's the new mm-hmm. birth. That's the mm-hmm. righteousness of God, mm-hmm. who is Christ Jesus, who is now inside of us. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, I know that in my thought, words, and deeds, I can identify certain things that have not been lined up with the perfect righteousness mm-hmm. of God. But I have to call those things dead.
Right.
Those are not to live, and they are not to rule and reign within me, because that's that dead man, you know? So I have to walk away from those things. But
right.
in my spiritual nature, there is that perfect life of Christ, and it's for now. Like, we have that in us now. We have eternal life in us now. And that means eternal life, but it's on the inside of us. And God says, work out your salvation mm-hmm. with fear and trembling, mm-hmm. with respect, right? And so we can't work out what's not already in there.
Well, you know, when it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, is that whatever you bow before, you create. You
right.
know, whatever you worship, you take that nature mm-hmm. on. Whatever you honor, you pull it to yourself.
Yeah.
And so as I listen to lying vanities, if God says, you're blessed, you're the apple of my eye, you're the righteousness of God, your life's hidden in Christ, it's no longer you that live, it's Christ, the atoms are dead, and then I'm over here saying, no, I'm oppressed and suppressed,
right.
and I'm lonely, I'm broke, I'm poor, and all my kids are in jail, and, you know, this and that. Woe is me. Nobody
right.
knows. Well, because all power in heaven and earth has been invested in you. All of hell can't do a thing until the sons of God say it. So you've got these demonic forces that are saying the sons of God say they're sick and oppressed and lonely because they say it. Let's activate it, because hell is activated by the word as well as heaven.
Amen. That's true.
So we're people making choices.
Oh my gosh. I love the gospel, and the gospel is the good news
Amen.
Of the kingdom of God. And Jesus has done everything for us, and we're in union with him. We're in communion with him. We can allow that new life, that heavenly life, that eternal life to flow out of us like a river. We don't have to buy into the lies. We don't have to chomp on that old nature that's hanging around the
Amen.
Neck. We can call it dead. We can bury it. We don't have to be involved with communication with that dead corpse. We can be alive unto God, and I want to encourage you unto that end. And we're going to be right back with some very exciting prophetic words.
Become a Breaker Team partner today. For a generous commitment of $30 a month or more, go online to xpministries.com.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
Order Patricia King's new Sacred Time, Sacred Place journal. Develop a rich devotional life with practical guidelines, scripture, and journal space for a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Order the Sacred Time, Sacred Place journal online now at xpministries.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
This is Clarice. Clarice lives in the frozen tundra of Antarctica, which leaves Clarice lacking a church community. So she logs on to XP Web Church, where she can connect with a vibrant church community anytime, anywhere. Join now at xpwebchurch.com.
Well, welcome back. We have Dr. Clarice Fluitt with us, and she's full of wisdom. I love you, Dr. Clarice, and I love the wisdom that you carry and your humor and the way God uses you. It's awesome. But let's continue this chat on union and communion.
Well, you know, as we understand, as surely as Jesus is the Word made flesh, you and I who are the redeemed are the flesh that are made into the Word of God. The Scripture says God's Word will not return void, but accomplish what the DNA, the divine nature attitude, it's going to go out that you are a word that is spoken from the mouth of God. Jesus is the word. We are a word. So wow. An army of words are being accumulated in this day and hour to absorb and reflect the glory of God. So when we begin to study the word of God, we find it comes to us as milk, which speaks of salvation, the sincere milk of the word of God. And of course, we know babes take milk. Mm-hmm. And then it speaks to us of meat. And the Scripture says strong meat belongeth to the mature. So you got to have a set of teeth. That means you're going to have to chew on some of these things. Mm-hmm. But it's, whether it's healing or deliverance or prosperity, at some point you're going to have to swallow it before it becomes a part
right.
of you. You know, it's not just taste and see.
Right.
But you're going to have to say, you know what? Somebody told me one time, I just don't buy all this healing stuff. And mm-hmm. I said, well, honey, it's not for sale. It's a gift. You know, you're not going to be bothered with it. And then it comes to us as bread. Union and communion. Jesus is the true bread that cometh down from heaven. And he says, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have any life in you, that
right.
resurrection life. So thank God that in the union and communion, the Scripture says, when you come to this meal, blessed are those who are called to this meal, that you come, it is not a magical meal, it is a mystical meal.
Right.
And what we must do is judge ourselves healed, delivered, and prosperous. You don't take the meal to become that way. You take it as a testimonial that I am healed, I am delivered. I'm not trying to get what I've already got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's been given to me. And then it comes to us as honey. Now, honey is a food that's free of bacteria, and it doesn't have to be digested. It goes instantly into the blood and establishes great strength.
Mm-hmm.
Now, honey speaks to us of revelation. Revelation cannot be taught or learned. It's caught. It's where the Holy Spirit, ruah, the breath of God, mm-hmm. you have an aha moment through there. Now, it's interesting. The Scripture says too much honey is not good for you. Living in that continuous state, you have to have a balanced life.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen these individuals that they have a revelation a minute.
Right. But if you can't apply it, it doesn't really do you any good. I always find that when God gives a revelation, it's sweet to the taste, isn't it? It's
mm-hmm.
like, wow, you can hardly wait to even tell everybody about it because it's so delicious to the taste. But then he gives you opportunity to apply that revelation, to apply that word. And that's what gives you the strength. And honey, actually in the Bible, speaks about a strengthening force.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the revelation, when it's applied, brings a strengthening to your character, to your walk.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you your testimonies. It's wonderful.
Well, it helps with the area of experience. You know, there are many people that have a doctrine that have never had an experience.
Mm-hmm.
The devil believes Jesus is the Son of God, and that's not going to get him
right.
saved. So when we begin to say, I believe this or I believe that, and we do not have any experience to back
right.
up what we're professing,
right.
we have people in the church, the redeemed, that are professing but not possessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so consequently there is impotence in Zion.
Mm-hmm.
They don't heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, or preach the word of God because they want an intellectual approach, move with their head. See, information without revelation produces imitation and leads to stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
But revelation produces change.
Right.
And the greater the change, the greater the reward. We who were the children of night have become the children of light. And wherever you show up, you know, that Scripture in the beginning, it says, and God said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
A more accurate rendering is let there be an unveiling of what's already here.
Wow.
You know, he didn't create the light because
it's
God
like
is the light. And so it was already
mm-hmm.
here. He says he covered himself in thick darkness. And when he says, let there be an unveiling of what's already here, I have found in my walk that God loves to play hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, you just seek me with all your heart and you'll find me.
And he doesn't hide himself from us.
Mm-mm.
He hides himself for us.
For us.
Yeah, and he doesn't hide things from us. He hides them for us.
It's like, for us.
You know, you go on a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, the kids are running trying to find it all, and it's so delightful, and, you know, you always get excited when they find it, you know, because it's playfulness, and our God is like that. He does see us as his children.
And that the joy of the Lord, you know, we say the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. And again, we find the more excellent things are in three. And when you talk about joy, the joy of the Lord, he says, without joy, there's no strength. So you have to strengthen your own self with the joy of the Lord. It's not happy as a man whose God is the Lord. There are many people that are not happy because God is not Lord. You know, Lord means boss in just about any language you want to go to. So he can be my Savior and still not be my Lord, because I'm have covenant on my terms.
Right.
I'm still calling the shots. I'm still allowing Adam to drive the ship, you know,
right.
Instead of saying, well, I'm just human. You know, I can't do this. Well, I was just human, but I got born again and I became a new creature.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be right back. We have some powerful prophetic words and words of knowledge to give to you.
God, the creator of the universe, desires relationship with you. He wants you to experience him. Join Patricia King and the XP team this coming Sunday for Experience. Experience is a powerful and impacting night of worship and the Word in an atmosphere charged with the presence of the Lord. Patricia hosts Experience events on the second Sunday of every month. Bring a friend or two with you and we'll see you there. For more information, go to xpministries.com.
Order Patricia King's new Sacred Time, Sacred Place Journal. Develop a rich devotional life with practical guidelines, scripture, and journal space for a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. Order the Sacred Time, Sacred Place Journal online now at xpministries.com.
Are you called to media? XP Media's training team is available to teach you every phase of media production, from script writing to acting, editing, producing, and directing. For more information, visit xpmediatraining.com.
There's someone who's been watching this program today, and it really captured your attention when we talked about dragging around the old man and, you know, the story about the dog with the dead chicken. You thought, oh, my gosh, that's what I've been doing. And about necromancy, oh, my, that's what I've been doing. I've been letting that dead man talk. I've been even communicating with it. And it's like it has brought life to you today. It has brought light. And what I see is you going on this journey of exploring the Word, and there's revelation, more insight coming to you that is going to show you who you are. It's like the old man is going to be separated off so you can truly see who you are. Because when you see yourself the way God created you to be, fashioned in his beauty, fashioned in his likeness, then you will be what you see. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And you've had some stinking thinking, but today all that stench is falling off, and the fragrance of Jesus and the revelation of who you are in him is rising up on the inside. Your whole life is going to be transformed. Your whole life is going to change.
Praise God. And you know, the word of the Lord would come to you today there. I keep hearing the name Samuel, and Samuel, I see that there is psoriasis that's in your, it's all in your scalp, and it's on your elbows, and you've got sores on your body, and it really has led to tremendous embarrassment and humiliation, and that covering, that epidermis that has come under such an incredible attack stems back to some childhood wounds and cuts and bruises and emotions that have been stirred. So in the authority of the name of Jesus, that Adamic thing that you're identifying with, today is the day that you need to make a decision that leads to a conversion and speak to your body and command it to align itself with the infallible and inerrant word of God. You are a man of faith, but when it comes to this embarrassing skin situation, you really begin to back up. And it's the righteousness of Jesus that's been imputed to you. And you have the power, you have the authority, you have the call, you have the ability, you're a knowledgeable person. But when it comes to this particular area, you refuse to stand up and say enough. And today is the day of your deliverance if you will activate, ratify, and prophesy.
You're watching the program today and you're thinking, if if only I'd had a coach, if only I'd had a mentor, I didn't have anyone to teach me these things. And you're excited. You're thinking, why didn't I know this? I've been sitting in church all these years and never heard anything like this. Well, the Lord says that a new chapter in your life has just opened up for you. New things are going to spring forth. You're going to see the glory of the Lord on every page of the Bible. You're going to be reading scripture that you've read for years and thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't know it could be so good. And you know why? Because you have your own personal coach, mentor, guide. His name is Holy Spirit. And right now he is filling you with his glory, with his love, with his power. In fact, if you'll just start receiving that infilling, you know, you're going to even start praying in tongues. And you can even go online and download our teaching on tongues if you want more explanation. But you know why he's giving you this awesome gift? It's because he loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And that's for everyone. Go out and share his love today with others. See you next time.